Join with me in our prayer for understanding of God's word. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the words of life that we may understand your way and follow your truth. In Jesus Christ, amen. Today I'm going to read from Exodus 17, 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for helping us to continue on this journey of faith this morning. Thank you, my friend. It's a blessing to be with all of you. And all of you who are feeling thirsty right now, you're in the right place. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, and we're grateful. We thank you, Lord, for how you do speak to the thirst that we have. Not only a physical thirst at times, but a spiritual thirst, an emotional thirst for something more. If we would simply remember this answer, yes, to the following question, is the Lord still at work in our lives? Help us to always say yes. Help us to do so in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. The Walt Disney movie, The Prince of Egypt, I don't know if anybody saw that. Good movie, good animation. Not exactly sure how close to the biblical text it follows, but that's okay. There's a greater truth within it as well. And it starts out with, of course, Moses, who started out as a prince of Egypt and then eventually kind of being emptied of all those outward accoutrements and finding himself following God, trusting in God, trusting and obeying, as our hymn just stated and as we sung. But it ends with Moses celebrating on the mountaintop, and at the very end, it has him holding the Ten Commandments, and those are all celebratory times and times of great power. But you know the chapters and the places that it skips? When the people are grumbling. There's probably a reason for that. We don't like to be reminded of the times that we were grumbling. Have you ever dealt with anybody who grumbled in your life? Possibly, maybe, every once in a while. Don't point, I'm not looking. I'm not taking names, anything like that. You can just kind of raise your eyebrows or give me a wink and say, "Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about." And if you have ever dealt with somebody that grumbled, well, you probably grumbled yourself. You know, in this hymn, which is one of my favorites, Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Now, what does that say there? We should never be frowning whenever we answer God's call in our lives. And yet, let me share something with you. I'm glad that you're all seated because this may be shocking. There are curmudgeons in the local church. Did you know that? There are curmudgeons in the local church. Maybe you're familiar with this already. Maybe you're celebrating the fact that you are one. And if you're a curmudgeon in the local church, just say amen right now. Okay, there are some people. Okay, fantastic. Celebrate that truth. Even if you're doing it in a curmudgeonly way, you know, kind of, I don't really want to do this, or kind of have a frown on, or maybe a little bit grouchy, and yet people know that's just a front because they know you're a marshmallow inside. They know, they love you. They know that God's at work in you, and you share that all the time. Even if you're not doing it with the best of intentions or you're grumbling, if you're still willing to follow God and trust God, there is a blessing, an abundant blessing that is experienced. Now, is God's grace at work in our journey, whether we're listening or not? Yes. Is God's grace going to continue to be at work in our journey, whether we're listening or not? Yes. Again, we don't define God. See, that's freeing, isn't it? You don't have to be in control of everything. You're not the boss of everything. God is. Let it go to Him. Let go of it to Him. Right now. Yet, there's still that gnashing of teeth, and when things don't go our way, man, the easiest phrase to offer to God is, "What have you done for me lately?" Bible study this past week. And out of Bible study, oftentimes I get illustrations. Now, you will notice that I never give names, do I? You may know that I'm talking about you. Whenever I saw a beautiful couple at Starbucks, even if I'm staring at you, I'll never give your name. Or if I see you some other place out and about, I'm not going to give your name. You'll know, okay, yeah, he's talking about me. But in a loving way, in the love of Jesus, I always got to put that. So whatever you say then, and if you follow it by in the love of Jesus, it's okay. It's fantastic. But this past week in Bible study, the sister in Christ, we were talking about how God blesses us. And how God answers prayers, and she was saying, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for God to answer some prayers right now, and somebody said to her, yeah, but didn't God give you 4 new tires for your car? And there's a story behind that, and if you want to really know who it is, come up to me afterwards. I'll whisper her name, and you can go ahead and ask her. God gave you 4 new tires. And she said, yeah, but that was a long time ago. What have you done for me lately? Okay? Leading up to this particular story, the Israelites have been brought out of bondage. They've been given new life. They don't really know how to handle it, quite honestly. That's okay. Whenever we're given new life in Christ, it takes us a while to kind of get a grip on that, right? And I don't know that we ever completely do. But it's a wonderful, fun time. It's great. It's the best time. So they're coming out of that bondage. And God continues to do one thing after another to not only protect, but to provide for them. And right before this, in fact, they're fed. They're given food. They're provided food by God. They were grumbling. God meets their need. And they continue on this journey. And the place that they find themselves actually cannot be located on a map. If you try to specifically pin it down, or any sort of biblical commentator on where they were, nobody's going to be able to say, well, they were exactly right here. They were out in the middle of nowhere. Ever been there? You live here. What? I will let you know, sir, we have a Denny's now, okay? So out in the middle of nowhere and not sure where they were heading and literally zigzagging and wandering around, and now they're thirsty. I mean, they're thirsty, physically thirsty. If you've ever had that kind of thirst, reading this story just kind of makes your throat even drier. And you can remember what it was to get a wonderful, cool drink of water or apple juice or strawberry milk or whatever your favorite beverage is and take that in and quench that physical thirst. But as believers, there are other kinds of thirst as well. There are the spiritual thirsts. There are the emotional thirsts. There are the thirst that crop up whenever we hear you have cancer. There are the thirsts that crop up whenever we hear you're being deployed. There are the thirsts that crop up whenever we face challenges. Whenever brokenness is all of a sudden what we're walking through in our lives. And whatever that may be, there's a thirsting that we have for God's presence to sate our thirst and also to sustain us for the journey ahead. So for Christians, whenever we hear this story, we understand there are a lot of kinds of thirst. What happens? Moses cries out to God, maybe starts pulling out his hair, I'm not sure, and says, Lord, they're going to stone me. They're really, really frustrated with me right now. Could you help me out? And God is always at work in a different kind of way, generally. I mean, at first we see God at work, and it's different. Whenever we first came into that saving relationship with God through Jesus, we would see God at work in a way and be excited. And then maybe eventually, slowly but surely, we came to expect God to work in that way. You see what I'm saying? But God continues to want to work in surprising ways if we're simply open to it. So of all things, he says, take that staff, okay, that you used to stick in the Nile and poison it, take that same staff and go ahead and slap it on a rock and water's going to come out. I don't know if you've ever heard Bill Cosby's routine of Noah. At this point, this is Moses, a different biblical character, but at this point, Neil's interpretation would be to say, really, God? Are you sure this is going to do it? Now, understand, he's got a whole handful of people who are just frustrated. They're frustrated with him, but it's really that they're frustrated with God. Well, we know what happens. He strikes that stone, water comes out, and there's all sorts of artistic interpretations of people going up with pitchers and all sorts of containers to go ahead and get the water. But in this particular reading here today, it ends with God giving the direction, okay? And with Moses saying, you know what? I'm going to call these places now quarreling and striving against so that we can remember what we did rather than trusting in God. God answering the cry is kind of a foregone conclusion, is a given here. How we acted is what's lifted up. Is this a passage that today or any other day that we hear it is meant to condemn people? No, absolutely not. This is a passage meant to help us to recognize and remember and hold on to and strive after, if you will, that one who is always, always, always at work. We find ourselves out in the middle of nowhere, looking around, in need. Is that a place where God is absent? No. In fact, those are the places that God works miracles. In the desert, thirsty, hungry, crying out, wondering what the plan is, what the grand scheme of things is, God is in that place, powerfully, lovingly. That's what our faith informs us of. It's not simply about coming to church, and because we've come to church, everything's going to be great the next week. Rather, it is about coming into this place as those who are connected to one another, brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ here. You may not know everybody here closely, but you are still a brother or sister in Christ. We have the cross in the same way in our hearts as something that guides us and reminds us of what God has done for us through Jesus. We have God's Holy Spirit washing over us. And so we gather celebrating all those good things, all those nourishing things, all those nurturing things. And we go out from this place maybe still feeling like we're wandering sometimes, but knowing that God is in it with us. That, my friends, is a great hope, don't you think? That's a wonderful hope. That's a hope that continues to speak. No matter what we say, no matter what we offer, no matter what grumbling, no matter how great the thirst, God is greater still. There are those who respond to that call of God in their lives to remember that He's greater still. They're called Christians. We claim that name this morning, not by my definition, but by the definition of the Word, by how God defines each and every one of you as His loved ones, and also by God's grace. What a joy it is to be on the journey, sometimes finding ourselves seemingly in the middle of nowhere, sometimes thirsty, hungry, maybe even grumbling. But God never stops being at work. What a joy it is to have that witness with all of you and be with you on that journey. Thank you. Join with me in prayer. And we're grateful for how you continue to speak. Certainly, we'd like to trust and obey, but even in the times when we don't trust and obey, thank you for continuing to speak into our lives. Thank you for helping us when we are in the wilderness. Thank you for helping us to remember those words of Romans 5 when it says, "And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Thank you for calling us as your wandering people who you will quench all of our thirst, fill our hungers, and continue to speak into our lives in a way of grace and power. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.